You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie's senior producer, Jamie Martinson. Maggie's taking a couple of days off. She is going to return later this week. But in the meantime, we'd love for you to enjoy some best of moments on The Maggie Dawn Show. Over the next few minutes, you'll hear from Congressman Mark Pocan.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I am thrilled to be joined by Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan for this next segment to talk about what I think is one of the most important things that is happening in our country right now. If you've listened to my show, you know, in the past 3 weeks, I've been talking about that billionaire overlord guy that nobody voted for. Yeah, Elon Musk, that guy, who apparently thinks he now has bought and purchased and can control the entire U.S. federal government. I didn't vote for him. Don't think anybody did. And Congressman Pocan is going to do something about it. Welcome back to the show, Mark. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Oh, thank you, Maggie. Glad to be here with your audience.
So tell us about the Elon Musk Act. And let's start with this most creative and yet very, very devastatingly accurate name.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to pull it up to make sure I get it exactly right. I'll admit here. I got it for you, Mark.
I always do my homework. I'm an A-plus student and try to be. There you go.
I'll let you go the rest here.
Eliminate looting of our nation by mitigating unethical state kleptocracy. The Elon Musk Act. What is the act seeking to do, Congressman? Well,
everything you said about Elon Musk not being elected by us, and yet here he is, I would argue, more powerful than any previous president because he's breaking the law. They don't have that kind of power. And he's able to fire federal employees, turn on the spigot and off the spigot of federal funds. The problem is, if you're a member of Congress, you can't have a federal contract because you could, obviously, that would be corruption. If you're a federal employee, you can't have a federal contract in any area that you have kind of any oversight because that would be corruption. But for Elon Musk, it's just another day ending in Y. The guy's got $20 billion of federal contracts, plus some undisclosed ones with Starlink. And, you know, he's now going in and agency by agency, firing people and stopping funding for things. And, you know, if you think about it, what's a great way to have your agency not touched as much? Hey, you find a contract for Elon Musk at one of his companies. That's why we have the laws in place for federal employees and members of Congress, certainly, and the president for that matter. But just because you're the guy who bought the president and you have a title called special government employee doesn't mean you should also have those contracts. So we're just saying he can have this little title and whatever badge comes with it, but then he can't have federal contracts, or he can have federal contracts, but he can't play, you know, the role that he's playing.
This, as I've tried to explain this to people, I'm getting to the point, Representative, where it's like, how do you not see this? I worked in government for a long time. Our ethics rules required reporting of anything over $25 or $50, depending on which stinking rule you were looking at. And of course, prevented us from doing anything that resembled self-dealing by being in government and then running some other side business that would benefit from the government that we served for. It is per se conflict of interest, ethical violation 101. It is self-dealing. The idea that a guy with 20 billion plus in contracts is somehow going to be the one that we're going to tag to work on government efficiency is so blatantly ridiculous as to defy an explanation in many ways. And yet, here we are. The thing that scares me the most, Representative, and I was hoping you could speak a little bit about this, as our billionaire overlord is running roughshod through our nation's most sensitive system, getting access to trillions of dollars, accessing the personal identifiable information of the tens of thousands of federal employees, and apparently slashing willy-nilly whatever he thinks he should, and lying about it all the same every day, all of this seems to be headed inexorably, and now we're getting a little glimpse of this, that what Donald Trump is doing, perhaps at the behest of the world's wealthiest man, is proposing billions of tax cuts for billionaires and 100 millionaires. And the way that we're going to solve the budget problem in the federal government is by slashing things like Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. How does this legislation relate to that? Or is that a separate battle? We got to deal with Elon's conflicts, and then we got to deal with this immoral, illogical Trump-style approach to tax breaks for billionaires and 100 millionaires.
Well, it's a separate but related battle, but it's also the 800-pound gorilla in the room battle, because that is what all this is about. They're not trying to find waste, fraud, and abuse. That is the fraud. What they're trying to do is find the $4.5 trillion they need over the next decade so that they can provide the tax cuts for the wealthiest, for Elon Musk, Donald Trump, and all the people who belong to Mar-a-Lago and others. But what you have to remember on this is in order to do that kind of level of cut in the reconciliation bill that supposedly is coming before the House next week now, there's $1.5 trillion of cuts, which the way that the bill is written, it directs committees to cut a certain amount. So the Energy and Commerce Committee under their jurisdiction has to cut $880 billion. Well, the biggest thing that they have is Medicaid under their jurisdiction.
Right.
And it's very obvious that that's where they're going. And the Department of Agriculture, I think, has a $230 billion cut. Well, they're not going to cut probably, you know, some of the basic programs for farmers. They could, but it's more likely they'll go after the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program that is a little over $6 a day in food assistance, the number one program to keep kids out of poverty. So they're literally stealing from the middle class and those aspiring to be in the middle class and do this giant transfer of wealth over to Donald Trump and Elon Musk. And if they extend his tax cuts another 10 years, officially 83% of the money will have gone to the top 1% in this country. That's the reality.
And Congressman Pocan, you have hit on something that most people don't know, but tells you all you need to know about Donald Trump and the MAGA cult. And that is, when Trump tax cuts for billionaires, 100 millionaires, and the world's wealthiest corporations got passed back in 2016, there were multiple versions of this bill. I need not tell you your business, sir. But the point I'm getting at is that the version that was ultimately passed, Republicans refused to wait for the Congressional Budget Office to complete what they call the dispersion analysis, which tells you which strata of taxpayer, which income levels will benefit the most from that. Well, the reason they didn't want the analysis, sir, as you well know and just pointed out, is that the lion's share of Trump tax cuts 1.0 went to the billionaires and 100 millionaires. And in fact, some of our lowest income folks, as you put it, the folks striving to be middle class, actually saw net tax increases. Absolutely an abomination. When we couple this with the fact that we've seen $50 trillion in wealth from 1981 to 2021 migrate from the bottom 90%, so let's just say the vast majority of us, not to the top 10%, but the top 1%. How are they explaining this away? And what should people that are listening be on the lookout for? What's the baloney that they're feeding folks to explain this away now?
I'm going to answer that second part first.
Please.
All you're a member of Congress in Wisconsin, there's six Republicans that I think need a phone call, and Ron Johnson, if you are, you know, that hopeful. I'm not sure if I'm that hopeful when it comes
I've
to
given up. Rojo but, got to go.
Yeah, but the six members of the House, because all we really need are three people nationally in the House of Representatives to vote against something. They can't advance it. Doesn't have to be three from Wisconsin, but, you know, Derek Van Orden has famously told many, including me in my own, in my office in D.C., he would never vote to cut the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program because he benefited from it as a kid. And yet, he has a couple times, but this is going to be a real cut, not just there will be no increase, which is a cut, but like a real cut. And we're going to put him to the test. But people need to call their member of Congress. I also want to stress this. This affects the middle class the most, and also people who are trying to be in the middle class. But, you know, on Medicaid, 55% of the seniors in nursing homes are on Medicaid. 45% of adults with disabilities living, you know, and working are on Medicaid. One third of the kids in Wisconsin are on Medicaid. It's the largest single amount of federal money coming to the state of Wisconsin, about 43%, about $8.5 billion. You start doing the ripple effects, and then other things are going to get cut along the way. So it's that, it's education. You know, when we cut, this is a real important one, Maggie. Part of when they have, I think, a $330 billion cut to the Department of Education. Title I money and IDEA money is likely to be cut. In Wisconsin, it's going to be about $500 million, give or take. What happens then is either one of three things, and maybe all three. Either you're going to have fewer teachers, and you're going to have to fire teachers. You're going to have bigger class sizes, so your kids will get less strong outcomes. And here's the real catch. The funds will be passed to the local level, so it'll be an increase in people's property taxes to fund education. So you're literally transferring the money that you're paying on your property tax so that Elon Musk can have another spaceship to go off into the air. Woo! And we need to get that across, because it is going to be paid by the middle class in many different ways.
And the great irony in all of this, Representative, is this simple fact. All of these things will further cripple the middle class and Wisconsinites trying to be middle class. It will further dampen the economic prospects and hopes of young people, young families trying to buy homes, and all of this will have an eventual slowing of the entire U.S. economy. The U.S. economy, 75 to 80% of our annual GDP is driven by consumer spending. It is the middle class that are consumers in this country. All of our businesses work because the middle class is strong. Billionaires, they're not consuming anything because they got all the goodies they need. All of this eventually will wreak untold economic harm. So even those of you who may be listening that are rabid capitalists, it ain't good for capitalism either, because we have to have the money in our pocketbooks to buy the goods that the big corporations are making. You mentioned Title I and IDEA. I had an educational expert on just a couple weeks ago from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. It is somewhere upwards of 75 to 80% of current public school students across the state that receive and whose education is helped and supplemented by those funds. The dismantling of the Department of Education would put 75 to 80% of our kids at risk. How can we help make these consequences clearer to people, Representative? I think that's the challenge right now.
Yeah, I mean, I look at there's two things we need to do right now. One is litigation. We've got to support the groups that are doing litigation, because that is slowing down and stopping things from happening, because many of these acts are illegal and unconstitutional, correct, for that matter. And then secondly is communication. You know, when we put information out, I'm trying to do a weekly video now at the end of the week to let people know what happened that week. I'm putting a new podcast out with Liberty and Justice for Some, and we're having long form conversations with people to hear about some of these issues. I think this week we're posting tonight Jamie Raskin. I got a long interview with, which is
fabulous. Interesting for folks. Send his contact info along. I'm sure Mr. Raskin and I could have a fabulous conversation.
Fabulous. He's a busy guy, I'll tell you. But that's the sort of thing that we're trying to do is, you know, people get that information out there. But the most important thing, we did a press conference today, and I was going to do it with Greta Neubauer, the head of the Dems in the Assembly, and Dianne Heseltine, the head of the Senate Dems. And then we said, invite the Democratic members who want to come. And then we had someone on Medicaid, we had a teacher and a veteran, because by the way, we should talk about veterans.
Yes.
And we do this, and do you know how many people showed up? I think about 35, 40 Democrats from the legislature to just show their support that they're going to fight hard as they possibly can to defend their constituents against these cuts, because many cuts are going to come to the state level, and then there's not going to be state funds either. So it's great to see that level. I never imagined, like, we literally couldn't fit everyone. I don't know if I've ever been to a press conference that big, and I spent 14 years in the legislature, and
it
was that strong that people are ready to fight back. And I think that's the thing. So share this information. You know, eventually all the MAGA folks will feel some of the consequences.
Yes.
Won't feel it until after the bill happened, right? But like one other, if I can just real quick, veterans, I want to raise this issue. With veterans, I'll be real quick on this. They're laying off staff. They've frozen staff. They've already fired 1,000 people. What's going to ultimately happen is, one, you're going to get your services less quickly. And if you're a older veteran, that might mean your health and your life. And two, they're going through people's disability status to try to remove that status so that you may not even get some of the help that you currently get. So there's a lot of scamming going on.
Every single one of my beloved uncles all served in the military, all served in Vietnam, and all of them had issues getting their military disability benefits. This is bad for all of us. Van Orton's number, 202-225-5506. That's 202-225-5506. thank you to Representative Mark Pocan. Keep fighting the good fight, sir. I got some final thoughts coming up next right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.